Okay, let's get started then.
Cool.
I call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, September 6th, 2022. It is 6:01 PM. Commissioner McLaughlin, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
Already begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Ms. Rotana, could you please call the roll?
Commissioner Rodman?
Here.
Commissioner Holden?
Here.
Commissioner Mann?
Here.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Here.
And Chair Halverson?
Here. At this time, the Planning Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The Commission should, by motion, adopt the agenda as presented or reviewed. And I think we missed one item on the real agenda, and that is the appointment of a vice chair.
Yeah, so, I was, when I saw that, I missed the memo. I didn't, do we have a reason, or?
Well, our former vice chair has resigned and has been replaced by Commissioner Mann.
Well, I'll be
so darned. We needed to pick a new one.
I didn't know he was resigning.
Well, nobody did. So do I have any nominations for vice chair? If no one has one, I have one. So I would like to nominate Commissioner Holden to be the vice chair. Are there any other nominations?
There's one on the agenda.
Commissioner Rodman?
Sorry.
You're thinking. No, okay.
Oh, so, I was just searching her name. Yes.
That's okay. So
I agree. I will provide a second if needed be.
There is no need for that.
You're ready.
So I guess we'll just do a roll call, or not a roll call. We can just do a voice vote, right?
Sure.
Okay. So all in favor of Commissioner Holden being our new vice chair, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? So that passes. Thank you for volunteering to do that for us. Now we'll move on to the agenda. I hope everybody has had a chance to review tonight's agenda. Do we have any comments or proposed changes?
I do not. I have reviewed it, and I'll make a motion if we are ready for that, to approve the agenda as presented.
Great.
I'll second.
Very good. So I have a motion and a second to approve tonight's agenda as submitted. All in favor, please say aye.
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 And any opposed? Nay. So tonight's agenda is a go. So we're moving on to public communications. Please call in at 805-321-6639 if you would like to provide any public comment. During this time, the Commission will allow public communication. Any member of the public may address the Commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this Commission. The Commission will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the Commission cannot act on items not on the agenda. So I'll open it up to public comment. Are there any calls or anyone from the audience who would like to speak at this time?
No calls.
Okay, then we will close public comment and move to the consent agenda. Again, if there's any member of the public who wishes to address the Commission on the item on the consent agenda, please call at 805-321-6639. So the item on the consent agenda is the meeting minutes from the last meeting. Does anybody have any corrections, or can I get a motion to approve?
Yes, I can provide that. I think it's a good representation of what went on that night. So I make a motion to pass the minutes of June 7th.
Very good. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Very good. I'll do a voice vote. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? So the agenda from last week is approved. Now we're going to our public hearing items. As a reminder once more, if you would like to call in for public comment on an item, please call at 805-321-6639. So the first item on the consent agenda is development application 22-35. The applicant is Ram Krupa Real Estate. And senior planner Rafael Castillo will give a presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before you this evening is development application 2235, which is a time extension for a previously approved application 1806. So before you on your screen is the project that was approved, known as the Northeast Grover Beach mixed-use development. This was approved by the City Council in September of 2020. It does include a mix of 7 single-family residential units plus 2 hotels, which is access from a brand new on-site street or private accessway off of El Camino Real, and a substantial amount of open space that's fronting El Camino Real to be preserved, as well as a buffer that's also included on one of the sides. So again, this is an elevation of what was previously approved. It is 2 hotels that is approximately 176 rooms. So again, just a rundown of that approved project. Now, as a part of the project approval that was completed by the City Council, a PD5 overlay was codified into the development code, and that before you is not a part of the time extensions, since that is now officially codified. So again, 2 hotels, totally 176 rooms, 7 single-family residences, open space, on-site improvements along El Camino Real, including sidewalks and bike lanes, are the frontage improvements. So the applicant is requesting a time extension because they are current. This is a very large project. It was supposed to be a multi-phase project at that. And so the applicant has engaged in creating these construction drawings, which is taking a considerable amount of time, and is currently working with both the Community Development Department and the Public Works Department on key items such as a culvert, which it does require a substantial amount of permitting, not only from our side, but as well as the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, as well as the federal government for some of its water use. So with that being said, the applicant does require additional time. In addition, they are citing COVID concerns and reasonings for the delay in getting the permitting and construction drawings to move forward for you. So staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution approving development application 2235, for a 1-year time extension of development application 1806. And with that, I'll open up to any questions that the Commission may have.
Thank you. Any questions from the Commission?
I can hold mine until after we hear from the public.
Okay.
And the applicant.
Then in that case, if no one else has any comments or questions, I will open the meeting to public comment. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak to this issue? No? Okay. Anybody on the phones who would like to speak to this issue?
No.
Okay. Then I will close public comment. And hearing no comments, yeah, I'll do that. And so maybe this is your time, Commissioner Rodman.
Well, I'd just like to hear from the applicant. I've voiced my concern before with any delays in construction, and I believe the applicant is here, so if you could just sum up, I understand the reasons being delays from COVID, which didn't last 2 years, but there's extensive, even this is a large project, so I understand all that. I just would like to hear from the applicant, if you don't mind.
My suggestion, Chairperson, is if you already hear from the applicant, to reopen up the public comment.
Yeah, that's
period.
An excellent suggestion. Okay, so we'll open up public comment once again and allow the applicant to speak. Sure.
So, as mentioned, most of the delays were from COVID. There was a lot of uncertainty in the hospitality industry as a whole. So when moving forward with such a large project, not only was getting started on the permitting lengthy, since we just wrapped up negotiations with the franchises for the hotels, I think that took about 6 months. And then from that, we were stabilizing our plans to move forward with the construction documents, which we started this year. I think since the approval and through the peak of COVID, there was just a lot of uncertainty in terms of how hospitality is going to perform. So we were forecasting how the financing might play out, since we don't want to end up with a project that we have approved construction documents and then the construction documents get old with the building code, and then you have to restart some of the processes over again. So we decided to wait a little bit until we see how the markets are playing out. And based on our experience or what we're seeing in the local markets, there's actually been a very strong return of travelers, and we project that to be even better going forward with more international travel coming in. So I think the project is poised in the right direction to take advantage of that as the travel starts to return.
All right.
That's actually good news that you feel also that the travelers are returning and will make use of your hotel. Mm-hmm. Do you see that a one-year extension is enough? I would hope, but do you think so?
Well, that's what we're thinking. 1 year should be enough. We're looking to break ground next year. So as Rafael mentioned, we are doing the construction documents right now. So we're looking for a first submittal before the end of this year. And then finishing up that however quickly we can to start on the construction aspect.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you. I'll close public comment once again and put it back into the commission. Are there any other discussion points or questions of staff that we need to talk about? Then I will entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt a resolution approving the development application 2235 for a one-year time extension for development application 1806.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Yes.
Commissioner Rodman?
Yes.
Commissioner Mann?
Yes.
And Chairperson Halverson?
Yes. Very good. The motion passes. We'll move on to the next item, and that would be development application 2234. The applicant is Master Capital Venture, LLC. Well, there's a whole list of applicants, actually. And I won't read them all. Senior Planner Castillo, you have another presentation. Picking up all the work tonight.
I am. So I apologize for the slide. I should read development application 2234. So again, this is a time extension for the Huston Cannabis Campus, which is located off of Huston Street. This was a previously approved project back in September of 2018. As noted in your staff report, this project is up for its final time extension. The applicant is citing, again, COVID for the multitude of construction delays as a part of their letter to the Planning Commission. So just a little, again, this is an overview of the aerial. At six existing lots, none of this was subdivided, and a major development of primarily commercial cannabis uses divided into six separate buildings. So lots known as C2, C3, B2, B1, A1, and A2. And again, this was approved back in 2018 with an extension in 2021. Two lots are awaiting issuance. We have spoken with the applicant, and they are looking to submit for 928 and 938 Huston. They are still seeking leases for the other buildings. And again, no changes have occurred since approval of this development application is in October of 2018. So staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolutions approving development application 2234 for one-year time extension development applications 1823 through 1828. And again, I will turn it over to the commission for questions.
Any questions?
I have one. This is the final extension, and what happens if they don't proceed as they want to? Is it start all over or something else happen?
Yes, it technically starts all over again. Mm-hmm. So again, and the applicant does know that it is 1 year that is left. There's a reason why there are six separate resolutions on this one is because the resolution was issued for each individual lot. So if the applicant does, let's say the applicant does get three of the six issued and started construction within the next year, then the only ones that start over are the other three. What that means, I don't know. They could always, make it smaller or wait till another applicant comes along. But in this instance, it would expire, which is rather unfortunate because they did put a lot of work into the entitlement process for this project. However, there are other ways to go through the development process, and the development process itself has been streamlined since this project took place back in 2018. So if it does expire, we do feel, as from city staff perspective, that it would be processed very expediently.
Thanks.
Any other questions? All right. We'll open it up to the public then. And seeing no one in the audience, I'll ask if there's anybody on the phone lines.
No.
There are not. So we will close public comment and run it back to the commission. Is there any discussion or any comments, questions, or a motion?
I'll make a motion move that we adopt the resolutions approving development application 2234 for the one-year time extension for development applications 1823 through 1828.
And do I have a second?
I will second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Mann?
Yes.
Commissioner Rodman?
Yes.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Chair Halverson?
Yes. Motion passes. We will move on to the next item. Item 4 on our agenda is development application 2231. The applicant is the City of Grover Beach, strangely enough. And Senior Planner Castillo has his last presentation.
I do, thank you. And I am filling in for Director Buckingham, who is out today. He could not make it with us because he's out sick, so hopefully he feels better. That being said, this is before you. We are the applicant for the safety element. So this is one of the 7 required general plan elements of our city. Each municipality in the state of California is required to adopt a general plan element. That's part of a comprehensive long-term plan for development of the city. So not only most of you are familiar with the land use element, which maps the future build-out and growth of the city, and that's what most residents are familiar with, but there's other, the lesser-known elements, sometimes the other dwarves, if you might ask, that roll along with this, and the safety element is one of them. So one of the main and key aspects of each individual element, including conservation, open space, circulation, is that they have to all be internally consistent. So as you update an element, you sometimes have to make modifications to other elements to make sure of that internal consistency. So the City Council in 2018 directed city staff to begin update of some of our more outdated elements. And those elements include the conservation and, at the time, scenic routes and open space elements. Those were updated in 2020. The other three elements that are slated to be updated include this safety element, which is before you this evening, the noise element, and the circulation element. Now, the circulation element looks like the next one to be up on the docket for city staff to work on with another outside consultant. And then once that gets completed, then we can then update the noise element, even though the noise element is, of the last remaining three, the oldest of them all. So, but unfortunately, you got to get through the circulation and where streets go and what noise those generates in order to do the noise element. So that's that. Similar to the conservation open space element update, Rincon Consultants was contracted for the update. Originally, the city staff was trying to attempt to get this element completed under our own guise, but unfortunately we just had too much work to do, so we farmed it out to Rincon and worked very closely with them to finish updating this element. So what is the safety element? It includes safety considerations in the planning and decision-making process, i.e. the Planning Commission and the City Council, as well as city staff for ministerial type of projects. The whole point of the safety element is to minimize risk of personal injury, loss of life, property damage, et cetera. So again, it's one of these guiding documents that's very quiet in the background, but it's there in order for us to examine and make sure that future developments are done correctly in a manner that helps to prevent these type of losses, particularly in disaster scenarios. Our safety element update covers the following categories: seismic and geological hazards, flood, fire, our airport. Remember, Oceana Airport, it's not in our jurisdiction, but it's close by. Public safety, emergency management, and hazardous materials. So where do we get all the information for the safety element? Well, it works in tandem with other important citywide documents that we have adopted over the years. The first and most important one is our multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan, which was adopted in 2019-2020. This is actually a multi-jurisdictional plan created not only with the county, but the other cities within San Luis Obispo County. Previously, each jurisdiction did its own. Instead, we decided to all group up and do one gigantic update one. That's our current hazard mitigation plan, as well as the San Luis Obispo Emergency Operations Plan, and finally our own urban water treatment plan, which has recently been adopted by the City Council. So those are sort of the three main components that we're utilizing from the safety element and pulling information and up and utilizing that information, as well as new assessments that we needed to do to create the updated document that was in your staff report. Now, the hazards of concerns that were covered in the safety element included seismic hazards. Those are earthquakes, just to make sure that everyone is on the same page. Liquefaction, that's ground shaking plus soil that is saturated at the same time. So those usually tend to have bad things happen. If you have a very saturated soil and an earthquake at the same time, that could create liquefaction. Flooding and dam inundation. Tsunami and siege hazards are... someone in our staff did ask, what is a siege? I will describe that for you if you didn't read it. The Cliff Note version is, it's basically if an earthquake happens in a lake, that's the best way of putting it. It's not a tsunami because it's not the ocean. Wildland and urban fires, which, you know, as we are a built-up urban community, but we do have that hazard that still exists out there. And finally, hazardous materials. So this is just a picture of some mapping of some of the things that were hazards of concern that were mapped out. The picture on the left is the two exits. That is one that the safety element had to review as a part of its new update. So we did have to go over neighborhoods and populations that only had one possible way of ingress, or what's considered ingress and egress, or one way out. And again, these are laws that were formulated, particularly in the late last 5 to 10 years, based on, unfortunately, wildfire and other events where folks were trapped. This is actually particularly pertaining to Paradise, where they just had one way in and one way out. And so, unfortunately, we did have a substantial amount of loss of life due to that fire. So state law does change and require cities and municipalities to look at that and ways to prevent that. The one on the right is a dam inundation map. Yes, if Lopez did you know, have an accident in some way, shape, or form, and we would have to prepare for that. So that's why we have evacuation routes in place. Again, this is why the safety element covers these things. One of the bigger items that you see, and we did discuss in our staff report, is this idea of the vulnerability assessment. So again, this is another new state law that requires our safety element to include as a part of its update. And the update was actually triggered not only because of the age of the safety element, but also because we recently completed our housing element. So again, that's another state law that was passed. So this vulnerability assessment really is looking at climate change and other climate factors that will affect the city in the coming years, particularly if we don't change the course of our current climate. So this assessment, including a mix of items and studies that was done, the state of California, as a part of this update, recently gave guidance to municipalities on how to create these updates and how to utilize the methodologies and methods and standards in order for us to have sort of one template to do this. The assessment conducted included higher than average maximum temps, which currently experiencing right now, more severe storms, increased extreme heat events, which again, currently experiencing right now, extended droughts, which we also are currently experiencing right now, and then unfortunately, wildfire risks with air quality impacts, and we have experienced that as a community within the last 2 years with recent wildfires in the area that have really created some really nasty air quality today. So those were included in the vulnerability assessment. Some of the key takeaways, just to summarize, a lot of the graphs and figures was that our extreme heat days will increase, which is currently approximately 10 days a year out shifting out to about 2080, that will increase to approximately 40 to 45 days per year. So again, we're getting a taste of those extreme heat days, but it is due to climate change, those are extending. Our dry spell lengths will increase. So while we do hope for rain, we also do need to plan for the future in terms of water preparedness. And then finally, sea level rise. And there's different scenarios that were discussed in this vulnerability assessment, including 1 foot rise up to 9.9 feet. So again, that's all included in the vulnerability assessment. And there are goals, policy, and objectives that were created to help minimize those risks, which we get into the goals, policies, and objectives. And those include emergency response and preparedness, water hazards, fire safety, geologicals and seismic hazards, aviation hazards, because again, the Oceana Airport is nearby. It's not in our jurisdiction, but there is a little bit of a overflight path in the city. So we did have to discuss that. And finally, the climate hazards itself. It is also discussed with goals and policy objectives. Now going through this entire document, we did need to do what's called CEQA and review this against the California Environmental Quality Act. The city staff's consultant did prepare an initial study and did find there no potential for significant effects, so therefore they prepared a draft negative declaration. The public comment period recently just ended. We did receive no comments. As a part of any general plan amendment, the city is required per state law, AB 18 and SB 18 and AB 54 requires us to consult with our Native American organizations and tribes. We did consult with them. We sent out letters, and we had no responses from any of our local Native American nations requiring a consult, so that was not required as a part of this effort. So reading through this entire document and going through the goals, policy, objectives that are updating to meet our new state standards as well as the vulnerability assessment, the city staff is recommending that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council that they certify the negative declaration, State Clearinghouse number 2022-080144, and adopt the update of the General Plan Safety Element and General Plan Amendment. And with that, I will open up to questions from the Commission.
All right. No questions on this side. Questions, folks?
I have a few. So the evacuation, can we go back to the slide that had the three neighborhoods that only have one egress? So that's the yellow on the left, correct?
Yes.
So that's egress is defined by being able to get a car out.
Correct.
Are there options for having a pedestrian egress? Should the fire be at the end where the car can get out so that other, you know, you can at least get out on foot?
So again, that's in court because we do not have our own fire department. That's a coordination with the Five Cities Fire Authority, which they are actually beginning to launch that program specifically in the Margarita neighborhood in the next couple months. They received a grant to do just that, have a neighborhood meeting and go over evacuation routes. So that is, it is a policy, it is a goal, it's an objective, and it's actually being executed very quietly in the background. But yeah, ingress and egress really is trying as rapidly as possible to get out of any type of safety, any type of emergency. Typically, you know, it is considered, but you know, what's most considered is how to get out more vulnerable populations. That's really what it comes down to, whether they're mobile or they're immobile, et cetera, and how to get them out quickly and safely. So while a pedestrian route may or may not be it, it's more the objective of getting out quickly and safely.
Mm-hmm. So which kind of brings me to another question, which is, and maybe this is a tactical thing that's not addressed in this. So say there's a flood, do we have public buildings that people can go to in terms of evacuation centers? Is that part of this?
That is not a part of the safety element. The part that is a part of the safety element is requiring the city to review emergency plans. And that was one of the documents before them, the San Luis Obispo County Emergency Operations Plan. That does include what happens in case of emergency, what facilities can be utilized for floods, earthquakes, et cetera. Those are also included in the local hazard mitigation plan. So two working documents that the police and city staff utilize are already in place. So again, the goals, policy, objectives, and wants the city staff to ensure that those documents are periodically updated as emergencies are found or as new facilities can be utilized for emergency types of situations.
Okay. And then I guess my only other comment is, obviously this isn't happening in a vacuum. There's all of these other, as we look at developments, thinking about the ways that we can mitigate or not exacerbate safety issues. For example, things like runoff, permeability of surfaces, those kinds of things. That's sort of what came to my mind as I was reading through this.
Yes, that's correct. So again, as an infill community, we typically don't need to not necessarily worry about, let's say, wildfires and wild urban, urban wildland interface is the terminology. But most certainly we do look at runoff. We have a very robust stormwater plan that is required of developers. We are, fire safety is the utmost concern, earthquakes, et cetera. Those are really going to be found at the nitty-gritty of building codes. That's why we have building codes, which are updated triannually, as well as our fire codes. New buildings do require fire sprinklers, so that's the first line of defense. But again, those don't really work if you don't have any water, which is why it's explained in the safety element and our urban water management plan to ensure that we do have an adequate supply of water, not only for our health and safety, or not only for our health, but also for our safety as well.
That's the end of my questions. Thank you.
That brought up a kind of a more of a statement, I think, than a question. Our police department, our fire department, and our engineer have all reviewed this plan. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. So as a part of this update, we did, as city staff, look for comments not only from our police department, but our friends at Five Cities Fire Authority, as well as our public works department. So all of us worked together in this document, creating it in concert to ensure that the goals, policy, objectives are currently in process and we are doing these things. And if there's something new, such as the meeting of neighbors, our Five Cities Fire Authority knew about it, but they were well ahead of the game and they described to us what they were doing. So it's those type of things where we are working very much in concert, not only in the long range planning of our community, but also in the short term planning of our community in terms of development applications and building applications.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or comments? All right.
So. Well, I'll hold the rest of mine until after the public.
Very good.
Has an opportunity.
So we'll open the meeting up to the public and see if there is anybody on the lines who would like to speak.
No one is on the line.
No one on the line. So close public comment. And back to you, Mr. Rodman.
Yes. Well, in that case, and I will speak for what I've heard from the public on safety and what occurs to me when I just think about our community. There are four areas that are covered in this plan, and I just would like maybe a further comment if you would like, or clarification. So number one was water supply. Communities always worried about water, and it seems that we have plans for that, even with the current drought and heat. Traffic safety and traffic congestion, as well as bicycle lanes and bicycle safety, as well as pedestrian. And then the fourth would be planning for a nuclear power disaster. And like I said, I think all of those are covered in this document, but would the staff like to comment, or the other commissioners, on any of these concerns that public seems to voice quite often?
Well, I guess I did notice that the section on the Diablo Canyon power plant was a little out of date in that it says it's scheduled to close in a couple years, and we all know it's going to be extended a few years.
Right. Our governor just did that this week, I believe.
Well, the legislature and the governor have been figuring out how to pay for it.
Right.
Anyway, so I think the document, I mean, you obviously bring up hazards that are identified in the plan, and I think the frustrating part for me is there's not a lot of detail in the plan. It refers to other things, and I think that's maybe right. What you're concerned with is that it's not a detailed plan. It's really an overview, mm-hmm. and it really kind of references you to other people, like San Onofre. For Diablo Canyon, refers you to PG&E because they're the ones, I guess, primarily right. responsible for coming up for reaction plans and evacuation plans and all that sort of thing in coordination with the county. So I guess to answer, I don't know if you have concerns, it's really just kind of a statement, I think, from your part. I think it really just functions, this thing we're talking about tonight, just functions as an overview document. And if you want to dig into the meat of the whole thing, you got to go trace each of those little roots right. down and find the documents that describe what is actually going to happen. I mean, the dam failure is a pretty significant one. You know, the whole south of Grover Beach could be
right.
inundated.
Right, and when I saw that on the in the documents and on the screen tonight, that yes, refreshed my memory.
It's pretty eye-opening, yeah.
Yeah, even with the drought, I don't know where the bottom, I know where the bottom of a lot of that lake along the shore is because you can walk across it. But even with the drought, that's quite an extensive amount of damage.
It is, and it would be I think that one's unique because the reaction time would be very small, I imagine.
Right. Exactly.
But again, there's no detail
on the leak.
Well, yeah, I suppose it could start leaking slowly. But anyway, I guess I didn't. I had the same concern you did when I first read through the document.
Right.
But then, as I realized what its purpose was, then I realized I didn't have any real concerns.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. That helps. And I kind of agree with you that we are planning for these, and what the public doesn't really know, because we don't get a lot of attendance, is when we approve a project, we extensively look at all of these concerns and their impacts. So I think that's important. I wish we would have more public involvement, but not much I can do about that. Rafael, do you wish to make any comments? I shouldn't use your first name, I'm sorry.
That's fine. We're on first name basis. As Chairperson Halverson had mentioned, it is more of an overarching document that is required by the state of California. It does, Diablo is touched on, but again, there is a plan in place for any type of emergency that is more overseen by the county. And then as far as traffic safety, those things actually are not in the safety element, but are in our circulation element and our bike master plan, as well as our land use element. So they're peppered in a couple spaces, but not necessarily related to safety.
Okay, any other discussion, please?
Yeah, I did have one more question. I don't know if it was in the CEQA review or the last 40 pages of the document about hazardous materials. So when I think of that for our area, I think of the gas stations, and then now I know we have a cannabis lab. Mm-hmm. I work in a laboratory in San Luis Obispo. It's manufacturing, and we have pretty tight safety training and those kinds of things, and hazardous material management. Is that of concern to us in this scope?
As far as the safety element goes, no. That's, again, more of a, this is a macro, whereas that's more of a micro. As far as the cannabis manufacturing, that is, I wouldn't say heavily regulated, but it is regulated very thoroughly by the Five Cities Fire Authority. Not to want to get into the weeds a little bit, but I'm about to.
Unintended.
It requires adherence to our adopted fire and life safety protocols, which those businesses work extensively with our Five Cities Fire Authority to ensure that they are meeting their procedures, and we do that at a quarterly basis with our quarterly inspections of those facilities, and then we also review their CIH on an almost annual basis. So we are reviewing, and we're very up to date with what those type of businesses are doing on their sites, specifically on the commercial cannabis end. And again, the hazardous materials are more related to radon in electromagnetic field. So again, much more grander scale than say the gas tanks that are sitting on the underground tanks that have gas stations.
I learned we have two oil pipelines as well.
Yes,
that was news to me.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I thought she was going to make a comment.
Yeah.
Seeing none, I will entertain a motion regarding this item.
I can make a motion.
Do we need a motion for just to certify?
Well, we're basically recommending that the City Council approve these two items.
Right. We're recommending the City Council certify the negative declaration. And adopt the update of the general plan safety element. And I make that motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Rodman?
Yes.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Mann?
Yes.
And Chairperson Halverson?
Yes. Thank you. Very good. We'll pass that on to the City Council. We have no regular business items, so we're down to commissioners' comments. I'll go down the line. Commissioner Rodman.
Well, I'm just curious about the thing I just noticed. What does SCH 20220801 what does that document, what is SCH?
State Clearinghouse. It's the environmental.
It's what?
It's the State Clearinghouse. It's the state's website and location where all municipalities and agencies drop their environmental documents when they're utilizing a negative declaration or an EIR.
Or is this obviously not the first one?
It is not.
Yes. And then I just like to encourage a report. Well, first of all, maybe I can make a very personal comment about our community development director's planned retirement in December, I believe. How personally I'll miss him and his advice. And the public may not know it, but the public will miss him also. And then I would like an update on replacing him, and then an update on replacing our... Oh, we got five. We have five. We're good. Yes.
The update is it's
we
done.
Updated without me even knowing.
I'm right here.
Okay, yes, you're right here.
Didn't and miss a meeting.
I appreciate your comments tonight. Thank you.
Is that it, sir?
Yeah, that's it.
Vice Chair Holden.
I have nothing.
All right, we'll move to our new commissioner.
Thank you. I don't have any, I didn't come with any prepared comments, but... I suppose if you have questions about me that you want answered regarding city business, we should do that in this format rather than
other. I'm sure you've had the explanation of the Brown Act and its
limitations. Yes, exactly.
But,
so.
Yes, you are allowed to meet with us one-on-one without any ramifications. And if you don't talk business, we can all have a party.
I did meet with City Attorney Hale for an hour and a half, and he answered many of my questions, all that I could think of at the time.
He's very good.
Yes. And I met with Mr. Castillo and Mr. Buckingham as well to get the overview of things.
Perfect.
So. I'm just curious, what lab do you work at, if you don't mind me asking?
I work at Promega Biosciences. It's off of Higuera in South.
What's the name of it?
Promega.
Promega.
Yep. And so we're a small chemical plant and research and development lab, and I fix the laboratory equipment.
Cool.
So, and we were making things for the COVID tests. We make a lot of things that light up that will tell you if drugs kill cancer cells. We work in the forensics DNA market, paternity testing. So all kinds of small molecules that are used in those lines of work.
I'm curious. My daughter is still looking. Granddaughter is still looking for employment as a lab technician. She's she graduated from Santa Cruz with chemistry.
Well, she should look us up. And that's something we can talk about offline.
The difficulty is she has to approve of who hires her, and she has some rather selective opinions on, like DuPont is out and
Well, let's table. You and I can talk about that after our meeting.
Yes.
That's a topic we can discuss.
Thank you.
Well, we'll let you off the hook for tonight.
Okay.
Yes.
Commissioner McLaughlin, you have anything to add?
Nothing at this time.
Okay. I don't have anything either. Community Director's stand-in report?
Yes. So filling in as acting director this evening. Well, first off, we do have a new planning commissioner. That was part of the report. Thanks, Ron.
I missed a memo.
Rachel Mann has been appointed a planning commissioner. So did you want to take a couple, a brief minute or two to introduce yourself?
And sure. Okay. I didn't know where things were going. I'm sorry. I missed that part of the agenda. If there was a report that I missed.
No, it's the director's report.
Okay, great. Just a bit of introduction. My name is Rachel Mann. I've lived in Grover Beach for about 6 years. I moved from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and grew up in a suburb of Chicago called Glen Ellen, which I know there's a Glen Ellen, California, not the same. And I started having been a renter here for a few years, began to understand how difficult it is to find housing. I was able to purchase a townhouse. I live in the Ocean Oaks development at 16th and Ramona. So I'm a big fan of attached homes because I have one. So you'll hear about that. Just started to get to know, once I got my job 3 years ago up in San Luis Obispo, I thought, man, I could be here for a while. Maybe I could start to contribute. So I actually applied for, there was an opening last year. Someone was supposed to roll off, and then they signed on again. And so my application was sat there for a little while. And then when Mr. Long resigned, they said, "You're still interested?" And I was like, "Sure am." So here we are. So I'm very interested. I'm excited to see what Grover Beach is going to become in a few years as we look to making it much more accessible to people without cars and making sure that we can retain all of the people who work here that we need. I didn't bring it up in conversation with, as we were looking at reviewing the plans that needed to be renewed, but my guess is some of the challenge is that it's hard to find workers right now and you've got to pay them more. So I'm hopeful all the projects will come through, but I wouldn't be surprised if that ended up being a difficulty into the next year. So I think the best thing we can do is make sure we have a place for folks to live that, they can afford on the salaries that will make it work. So, but that's probably enough of my personal views here.
So you, it seems then that you have no personal previous duties as far as city planning?
I do not have any duties in city planning. I have served on the board of a National Historic Landmark building. It's called Christ Church Lutheran in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which there was a lot of fundraising, grant writing, but you start to understand sort of how it fits into the neighborhood. I did volunteer as part of the neighborhood council when I was living in Minneapolis, but not on a formal board, formal city board. This is the first time I've taken that oath.
Well, you seem very comfortable. I was not as comfortable as you. I'm a teacher by trade and profession, so being on this board is my first idea of what it's all about. And you seem very comfortable, very relaxed.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you're. And I agree with many of your views. So,
I also serve. I serve on the vestry at St. Barnabas Episcopal Church, which is like the governing council there. And I'm the chair of a small nonprofit that funds the chaplain at Cal Poly. So,
very good.
I have my feet in a couple different areas. But
perfect.
Should something come up that interferes with this, then we'll take care of it when that happens.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Good. Thank you. So, moving on, as many of you know, We did do a development, the City Council passed a development code update in June. We were hoping that that item would go to the Coastal Commission in September. It did not, so due to staffing issues at the commission itself. So we are hoping that the October meeting will have our development code update and land use plan amendments to adopt citywide. So currently, they have been adopted in the non-coastal areas, so the coastal zone is still operating on the old development code. October items, we do not have any October items currently on the docket, so we may have to cancel that meeting. And so we have seen because of the development code revisions and updates, we have seen an uptick in pre-applications, but we are working on a few applications that were received for subdivision. So those hopefully will go before you in December and January as we work through with our applicants for new housing projects here in the city. 950 El Camino Real, as many of you know, is the hole that's sitting out along El Camino Real. Yes, it is a hole. However, new owners did take over ownership of that site, and we are happy to say that the building permits are approved and ready to be issued. And so they are looking forward to moving on that site very quickly and getting those permits in hand and then commencing construction. So we are very excited about this hotel project at 950 El Camino Real continuing on, even though they do have new ownership. Moving on to the question about Director Buckingham. As if you do not know, Director Buckingham announced that he is retiring at the end of the year. So he is moving on to the next chapter in his life, which is great and fantastic. He's a great mentor to me and is a great colleague. But with that being said, there will be an open recruitment for this position. For the community development director, and that recruitment is done by the city manager's office, and so they are looking to start that recruitment in the next few weeks. So we're hoping to have someone in place before Mr. Buckingham leaves. That's the hope, and we'll see how it goes. But that again isn't going to be an open recruitment for anyone to apply for that director's position. And with that, that will conclude the acting director's committee report.
All right. Thank you very much. And with that, I will adjourn our meeting at 6:52. Thank you. Good.